assume most of us are local folks here tonight. I'm sure members elsewhere are meeting on a Wednesday night, maybe not. If we have visitors, we certainly appreciate you coming to be with us. I'm going to invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Our lesson is going to be pretty much going through that chapter to make a point with regard to what we have called Peter's epitaph. I know years ago we used to walk through cemeteries and there'd be little sayings on the tombstones, and it was very common in those times to write some kind of an epitaph or some kind of a message or something about the person maybe that was buried there. And it was always interesting, some of the things that you would read on those tombstones. I remember across from Madison, Indiana, in the Kentucky side, there's a cemetery, and some of us were going through there reading epitaphs and so forth, and I was interested to see on one tombstone it said he wasn't sick, he just died. So I don't know what that was all about, but I thought it was rather humorous, and sometimes you would find some that were humorous. But Peter's epitaph that we're going to be looking at tonight is to remember these things. Now, in verse 14 of this chapter, Jesus had made it clear to Peter that you're about to die. The time of your departure, as Paul would say, is at hand. And so Peter was about to die, and then he stated his own epitaph. And we're going to find out what these things are a little bit later in our study tonight. But his epitaph, or he said before his death, remember these things. And there's some things in this chapter that we'll be looking at a little bit later on, in which we'll be talking about the things that Peter wanted people, when they saw his tombstone or when they remembered his death, they would remember, he said, remember these things. And hopefully we can identify those things that Peter was talking about, and we will be able to understand why. Beyond his life, when he was in the grave, he wanted people to remember these things. First of all, it's important for us to recognize that after Peter says this, he says, in effect, I want you to understand that Christianity is no joke. In other words, he says, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. I want you to understand that when we accepted Jesus Christ and when we preached Jesus Christ, we weren't accepting some mythological idea or some fable. Christianity is not a joke. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. Christianity is for real. And Peter said, even myself, I give myself as an example, moving on to verse 17 and 18, because he said, I announced the coming of the Messiah in Jesus Christ. And the reason I did that was because I was with him in the mount. And I heard the voice from heaven say in the mount, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Peter is referring to the transfiguration of Jesus when he took Peter, James, and John, took the three disciples with him into the mountain. And remember, the great cloud overwhelmed him. And there appeared Moses and Elijah and so forth. And then that voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved son. You don't follow Moses and the law. You don't follow Elijah and the prophets. You follow Jesus Christ. He is my son. And I want you to listen to, and I want you to pay attention to him. So Peter is saying that these things I want you to remember are serious, because Jesus is the Son of God. And this is not just some fable. This is not just some mythological story. I was there, I saw him transfigured, and I heard the voice say, this is my beloved son, listen to him, hear him. Now, if that's not good enough for you, he says, let me give you something more certain than that. Let me give you what he refers to as the more sure word of prophecy. And he said, prophecy is like a light that's shining in a dark place. And if you've ever been out on a dark night in a wooded area, you recognize that you can't really see much. You might see a bird nest over here, or you might see a squirrel run across here, or you might see a leaf drop from the tree, but you can't really tell what's out there. And he says that's the way prophecy is. Go back and read all those Old Testament prophecies and then try to figure out what are they talking about and when is it going to come to pass and what will be the fulfillment of all those things. He says it's like looking into a dark forest. You can't really see. You can see, well, now, okay, he's going to come from the seed of Abraham. He's going to come riding in Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of a donkey. He's going to be born at Bethlehem. He's going to be born of a virgin. And you start reading all those prophecies and you say, what is this all about? Well, the future is dark. And these prophecies are shining off into the future in a dark place and you can't make them out. But what happens, he says, when the day star appears? What happens when the sun comes up? When the sun comes up, or the day star, as he calls it, appears, you can see every bird nest. You can see every limb. You can see every creeping creature that's going through the woods and so forth. You can see it plainly. And so it was. When Jesus Christ came, and you learned that he was of the seed of Abraham, and he came from the tribe of Judah, and he came from the family of David, he was born at Bethlehem, he was born of a virgin, come riding in Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of a donkey. All of a sudden, this day star, Jesus, appears and fulfills these prophecies, and it's like the sun has come out, and now you can see plainly. And so he says, I want you to understand this is more sure evidence than the fact that I saw him transfigured and heard the voice say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased to hear you him. This fulfillment of all these prophecies that he did, this is more sure, this is more certain, this is more convincing than what I saw and what I heard that day. And then he goes ahead to say that no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Moses wasn't able to come up with those prophecies. He didn't know what was going to happen. Isaiah wasn't able to come up with this prophecy that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, or Micah that he would be born at Bethlehem. So those fellows, those prophecies didn't come by the will of men. They don't know the future. They can't prophesy those things. But they came by the Holy Spirit guiding them and giving them direction. And so look at the fulfillment of prophecy along with the evidence that Jesus was transfigured and God announced him as his son. Take all of that and the more certain evidence of prophecy and he says, you'll understand Christianity is no joke. Well, I'm behind. I'm sorry about that. I forgot what I was doing. But I want you to understand that Christianity is for real. There were eyewitnesses. There was fulfillment of prophecy. And God spoke by men. And Jesus fulfilled those things to give evidence that indeed he was the Son of God. Now, these things that Peter's going to talk about. Let me get this thing over here and we'll get caught up here. These things that Peter is going to talk about will make us like God. Now, that's not going to make us deity. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's going to make us like God. We're going to have the kind of character that God had. We're going to be forgiving. We're going to be patient. We're going to be loving, all those kinds of things. But he's going to talk about these things, and I want you to go back with me at the early part of the chapter, and we'll begin with verse 2. And if you have your Bibles there, notice now he says, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The great power of God through the Holy Spirit in the revelation of the gospel has made known unto us the things that pertain to how life should be lived, and the things that pertain to living a godly, that is a reverent and a devoted life. And he says, that comes to us through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. So we have this knowledge and we have this understanding of how life is to be lived in godliness by this making known of the knowledge of the will of God. And he says, whereby he hath granted unto us precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now God has revealed all of this to us so that we could partake of the divine nature. Now nature here is used not that we're going to become deity, but that we will partake of the divine character. What is the character of God? Well, now, if you add these things to your life and to your faith, they will cause you then to be partakers of the very character, and you become like God himself in the conditions and in the characteristics that are manifest in your life. And you have escaped the world through lust. And he says, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part, he says, all diligence, and now here are these things. These are the things that Peter says, I want you to remember. When you go over and visit my graveside, you go by and take a look at my tombstone, he says, I want you, when you look at it, I want you to remember these things. It's as though the epitaph on the tombstone of Peter was, remember these things. What's he talking about? Well, he says, first of all, remember faith. Faith is the foundation. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You cannot please God without faith. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so it all begins with faith. You've got to have that faith. Now, I want you to add some things to that faith. I don't want you to just be a believer. We're not talking about faith only here. We're talking about adding things to our faith. First of all, add virtue. And that's goodness. Be a virtuous and a good person. Morally, we must live virtuous lives. It's not just a matter, I believe in God and I believe in Christ, but I live a certain way that is manifest in the virtuous conduct that I engage in. And that virtue isn't enough. You've got to add knowledge. You've got to add understanding. You got to know the things that are of God so that you know what you have to do in order to be like God in character. And so you've got to have that knowledge. Now, that knowledge is going to tell you some things that you need to be doing, that you need to be practicing, and that's going to demand, in some cases, it's going to demand self-control. You're going to have to get control of yourself. You can't just let yourself go out here and do what you want to do. You know, when John talks about the world and the lust thereof, he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All those kinds of things that would lead us into sinful practices. Well, you got to have self-control. And your self-control, you need to add steadfastness. Some versions may say patience. But you've got to get your feet firm in the truth and, as it were, on the ground of truth. And you got to keep your feet firm and be steadfast. You can't be moving about from righteousness to sin. You can't be moving about from God to Satan. You've got to be steadfast. You've got to be patient. And in that patience, you've got to be godly. Add godliness. Godliness is a reverence and a devotion to God. And when we come to God by faith, not only then must we add this virtue and this knowledge and this self-control and this patience and godliness, but we need brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is an interesting word because it's actually Philadelphia. Philos is the word for love. Autophos is the word for brother. Brotherly love. That's the name, meaning of the name Philadelphia. And so Philadelphia is brotherly love that we have for one another. It's kind of interesting sometimes that you see members of the church who are at one another's throats, and then they get along with a neighbor who isn't a Christian, get along with people they work with that aren't Christians, But here they are fighting and bickering and saying hateful things against a brother in Jesus Christ. And we need that Philadelphia. We need that brotherly kindness. We need that love for one another. And then finally, of course, and we talked a little bit earlier in our studies about that word love. And you top it all. I mean, when you get that faith and that virtue and you get all of those qualities and knowledge and self-control and all of that, cap it off with unchangeable, unbreakable devotion to one another. That you're devoted to me and I'm devoted to you, and there's not anything you can do to break that devotion I have for you. You can slap me. You can break out my windshield. You can throw rocks at me. And if you're hungry, I'm going to come and feed you. If you need something to drink, I'm going to bring you something to drink. If you need clothes to wear, I'm going to see that you got clothes to wear. That's the kind of love that God has. And if God didn't have that kind of love, you would have never seen Jesus Christ come in the flesh. And you never know a thing about how God loves you enough that he would give his son to die such a horrible death that he did on that cross at Calvary. God was devoted to you, and there wasn't anything he wouldn't do to save you and to present you in a way that he could have fellowship with you eternally by providing through the horrible death on the cross the forgiveness of your sins and the cleansing of your soul from the unrighteous deeds that you have done. And so, that's what Peter's talking about. Peter says, when you come to my gravesite, I want you to remember that I said to you, add to your faith, add to your faith, virtue. Add to your virtue, knowledge. Add to your knowledge, self-control. Add to your self-control, patience. Add to your patience, godliness. Add to your godliness, brotherly kindness. Add to your brotherly kindness. I want you to remember that. I want you to, in other words, that's one thing I want you to memorize. That when I was with you, I always said, remember these things. And what are the value of these things? What value do they have for us spiritually to have these qualities? We're going to continue on in the text here. For these things, if they are yours, if these qualities are a part of who you are and they abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful. In other words, you're not going to be sitting around in the church and in the kingdom not doing anything. You're going to find things that's going to get you busy. There's no way that you can have faith and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and virtue and all those. There's no way you can have those things just sit around and do nothing. If you add these things to your faith, then you're not going to be idle, number one. And secondly, he says you're not going to be unfruitful. You're going to be producing fruit out here. And we're talking about spiritual fruit. We're talking about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, self-control, faithfulness. All of those things you remember in Galatians, the fifth chapter. After Paul had given that long list of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. He talked about adultery. He talked about fornication. He talked about lasciviousness. He talked about hatred. He talked about enmity. He talked about strife. He talked about all of those things. Works of the flesh. And they, he said, who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to go to heaven if you do those things. But if you let the Spirit, work on your heart through the truth that he has revealed, then you're going to learn to love. You're going to learn to be happy and joyous. You're going to learn to be at peace with your brethren. You're going to learn all of these various, what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. Paul calls it in Philippians, first chapter and verse 11, he calls it the fruit of righteousness. Now, righteousness is simply and basically keeping the commandments of God. Zacharias and Elizabeth, that's the parents of John the Baptist. The Bible says that they were both righteous, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They kept God's commandments. That's what righteousness is. And the fruit of the Spirit will produce in you this fruit of righteousness, as Paul calls it, or the fruit of the Spirit, as he calls or called that in Philippians, and then this here, or rather in the book of Galatians. And so, when you add these things to your life, then you will not be idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens if you lack these things? What happens if you don't remember these things? And you don't practice these things? What's going to happen if that is the case? He says, number one, you're going to be spiritually blind. If you don't have these qualities, you're not going to be able to see the truth. You're not going to be able to see what you ought to be, what you ought not to be, what you ought to be doing and what you ought not to be doing. You're not going to be able to see those things if you don't have these kinds of qualities. They're what give you spiritual sight. And so he is saying there that lack of these things is blind. All he sees is what is near. He's forgotten. Way back when he obeyed the gospel and was cleansed of his sin, he's forgotten all about that, and he's out here dabbling around in sin again. And so, it's easy. It's easy to forget. It's easy to forget the commitment that we made. It's easy to forget what we were thinking and what we felt the very night we confessed our faith in Jesus and were baptized into Christ. It's easy to forget those things. And when we forget those things, then indeed, we're going to fail to practice and be involved in a number of things that God expects of us. But then he continues. Am I behind here? No, we're all right. Okay. He continues here then and says, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, you've been called to Christ. You've been called to righteousness and holiness. And you need to make that calling sure. And he's saying right here, if you give diligence to make your calling and election sure, these things, you will never stumble. Now, a lot of people are tripped up after they obey the gospel. A lot of them are caused to stumble and to fall. And to fall by the wayside. But now, if you have these qualities, if you add all of these things to your faith and virtue, if you do these things, you will never. You don't have to worry about stumbling. If you've got faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly kindness and love and all those qualities, you don't have to worry about being tripped up spiritually. You will never stumble, for there shall be richly supplied unto you, shall be richly supplied unto you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The kingdom of which we are now citizens. The church of the living God, of which we are now as a body members. That kingdom will one day be delivered unto God. That church will be delivered unto him without spot and without blemish. And if we're in that kingdom and if we're in that church, we will eternally be permitted to have fellowship with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and all the faithful ones who have served the Lord, an entrance into the eternal kingdom. That's what life's all about. If we just die, as they say, like Rover, we're dead all over and there's nothing left. What's life here even worth? What's it seek to accomplish? The only way life is worth anything is that someday, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, this corruptible body, this body goes to the dust from which it came. It corrupts. But this corruptible body is going to come forth from the dust. God's going to bring it forth. And when he brings it forth, he's going to transform it into the likeness of his own glorious body. Paul makes that point in Philippians 3. Paul says to you, and he says to me, our citizenship is in heaven. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. We're going to talk about pilgrims and sojourners. Here on this earth, we're pilgrims and sojourners. Our citizenship is in heaven, whence we wait for a Savior who is going to come, and he's going to bring our bodies out of the dust and out of the grave and transform them into incorruptible bodies, bodies that cannot corrupt like our physical bodies will one day. This mortal body, subject to death, will come forth an immortal body that will never die again. And Paul makes that point in 1 Corinthians 15. And so if these things are added, and that's what Peter is talking about, I want you to remember these things. When you see my tombstone, when you see my gravesite, remember I said, remember these things. Well, what's he talking about? Go with me in the concluding point of our lesson this evening. Go with me to these things that Peter is talking about as we begin in verse 12. Now, we've just been talking about adding to our faith, virtue, knowledge, and all those things. And he says, wherefore I shall be ready always, I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things. Peter is saying, I never grow tired. I'm always ready. I never grow tired of saying, remember these things. Remember to add your faith virtue. Add your virtue knowledge. Add your knowledge self-control. Add your self-control steadfastness. Add your steadfastness godliness. Add your godliness. All these things. He said, I never tire saying that. And so add these things that you may know them and be established in the truth. This is the truth of what you're supposed to be. And on my grave, I want you to remember these things. And he says, I think it right. He says, not only then am I ready to tell you to remember these things, it's the right thing to do. And it would be a disservice to you, and it would be wrong if I didn't tell you and remind you to add these things to your faith. So he said, I'm ready to do it. But it's the right thing, verse 13, as long as I'm in this tabernacle or by, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle is soon. I don't have much longer to tell you this. I don't have much longer to remind you that you've got to add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. And to your knowledge, self-control. To your self-control, steadfastness or patience. To your patience, godliness. To your godliness, brotherly kindness. To your brotherly kindness, love. I'm ready, Peter said, to remind you and to remind you and to remind you because it is the right thing to do. It would not be right if I did not remind you that these are the things that will make you like God in character. You will, by practicing those things, take on he called it the divine nature. He doesn't mean you're going to become deity. He means you're going to take on the divine character of being like God. And this, Peter says, I want as my epitaph. And when you come to my graveside, when you remember Peter, he said, I want you to remember, I said to you, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge self-control. Add to your self-control patience and steadfastness. Add to your steadfastness godliness. Add to your godliness brotherly kindness. Add to your brotherly kindness love. Is that getting old? Is it getting old to you? Don't ever forget it. Because Peter said, I'm always ready to tell you that. And we must always be ready to learn that and to listen to that and know that by these things, we will never stumble and we will get an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven without these things. And And Peter said, I want you to remember those things when you think of me and my death. And so, as we conclude our study this evening, we just simply say to you, have you expressed your faith? First of all, to repent of your sins and confess Jesus and be baptized into Christ. That's where it all begins. If you have not done that, you need to do that tonight. If it's your will and your faith and your determination to serve the Lord, you've got to do that, and you need to do that tonight. But then you need also to add to your faith virtue and all these qualities. Maybe you haven't been doing that. Maybe you've been unfaithful to the Lord. Maybe you have been stumbling. Maybe you have been idle in the kingdom because you don't have these qualities. You need to repent of it. If it's a public nature, you need to acknowledge it openly. And if you do that, you're a child of God because you were one time baptized into Christ and into the family of God. And you can call God your Father. You don't have to be baptized again. You can just pray. And I say just pray because pray is one of the simplest and basic things that we can do, is talk to God about our sins. If you need to do that in an open way this evening, whether you need to be restored or obey the gospel, we urge you to respond to the Lord and obey Him while we stand and while we sing His hymn that's been selected.